It's a little small writing. Can those of you over 30 read that? I should have checked it out on the projector before I made it. But he gave me the verse Ephesians 1:17 in three words with one goal there. And so we'll mention it today, talk a little bit about it, and really over the year we'll just keep bringing it up. But I really feel, let me just read this. This is out of the Passion Translation. It says, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation to know Him through your deepening intimacy with Him. And I think what the Lord is saying in this is this year is He is opening a door to greater intimacy with Him if we're willing to go there. And I know I am. As individuals and as a church and as the group of churches in this region that we've sort of networked with. And so this year, just look for more wisdom of who Jesus is and how to walk with Him. And look for just thoughts, expect just thoughts, revelation. Revelation is different. Revelation is thoughts that you got that you go, where in the world did that come from? That you may have never thought of before, and it's not connected to anything else that would have come up before. It's just sort of spontaneous thoughts. Wisdom is a little different. Wisdom is the proper, first of all, you got to, is the proper application of facts over and over again. So you've got to have facts, you've got to have knowledge. So expect more and more facts about Him, knowledge about Him, Him sharing things with you. And then as you walk it out, you become a wise person. Nobody is born wise. It's from repeatedly doing the right thing versus the wrong thing over and over again. And that's how you become wise. So look for increased knowledge that leads to the Holy Spirit giving you wisdom and the Holy Spirit giving you revelation. See, the Holy Spirit's goal is to reveal Jesus. He's called the teacher, and He is the comforter, and He does all that. But His main job of teaching is partnering with the Father to get a bride for Jesus Christ. And that bride is a white, pure group of people, us. You know, bride is not just a female thing. Is us to walk intimately with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of metaphors about Christians in the Bible. You know, we're farmers, we sow seeds. We're soldiers, we fight a battle. Those are all valid. We're living stones being built into a temple. But you know one metaphor that is going to be around after we go to heaven and after the new heaven and new earth is the bride of Christ. Because it says this thing ends in a marriage supper. And that's those that know His voice and are intimate with Him. It's a big feast. And knowing Him. But this is the exciting thing. You can know Him now. And as Revelation 3 says, one of the saddest verses, says Jesus Christ says, I'm knocking on the door. And that's, we often use that as a salvation verse. And we can use it as a salvation verse because He's knocking on salvation. But He's speaking to Christians. Going, can I go further with you? It's like we said about a month ago. We talked about there's three types of churches, which parallel the Moses' tabernacle, who had three types, the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. We want to become converts, and that's, we all want all churches to be converts. That's what the outer court represents. Before they came in, their sins had to be dealt with. Evangelistic churches, evangelistic bent, and we want to do that. And then those people had to be discipled. The priests would stand out on the porch of the holy place and read the scrolls and teach the people and teach them what God's heart was. But you know, back then, there was just one person that actually got to walk into the presence of God one time a year. But on the cross, Jesus, one of the things you may remember from the cross, the veil split down the middle. This was a thick veil. You know, I've heard various teachers on it. It's all made of different hides and cloths. But it could have been anywhere from 1 to 3 feet thick, depending on who you talk to and how they estimate what was put there. It was not going to tear on its own. And the reason was, he says, now everybody is a priest. And everybody has the opportunity to go into the Holy of Holies. Most people don't. We stop at just being discipled. We stop at being saved. But he's saying, what's the purpose of salvation is to go into the Holy of Holies. What's the purpose of discipleship is to know more about me and who you're walking with. Because he's going to marry a bride that he knows. It's sort of like the American system of dating. I'm not saying it's good or bad, it's just the way it is. I was in Nepal a couple of years ago. Nepal, India, that part of the world, their system of dating is your parents pick them out, and many times you don't see them, or you know them at a distance before getting married. And that's how many Christians act with Jesus Christ. Well, I'll know them at that level. I'll learn about them, but I'll know them at that level when I get to heaven. No, he's into the American Western style of dating. He wants to know you now. He is pursuing you now. He is going after you now. And we can learn to recognize his voice now. And so this year, we'll talk a lot about it. We're just going to pray for greater wisdom on what his voice is like and what our bridegroom is like. For greater wisdom, a greater revelation on who he is, so that we can know him now. See, you can be saved, discipled, doing the works. What's that verse in Revelation that scares scares me to death? You cast out sick, you cast out demons, you healed the sick, you fed the poor, but I never knew you. So we can know about him and be saved. I'm not quite sure the whole theology there. I'm not a theologian, but I don't want that to happen to me. I want to cast out demons, heal the sick, feed the poor, and do it right along beside him at the same time. And that makes it fun instead of just a religious duty. So let's just pray. Father, we just give to you 2019, and we just pray this verse full of passion. Ephesians 1:17 over us as a group, that we will know you through a deepening intimacy with you. Father, we come to you and say we're doing the best we know how, and then you come and show us with wisdom and revelation how to live in your presence, how to live face to face with you on a minute by minute basis, shall we even ask. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You can take that slide down or leave it up. Doesn't really matter. All right. Everybody's asking me about this stand. We used to have a nice acrylic stand, but I got tired of bringing it back and forth. I didn't want anything between us and the musicians and us together. That's why I always slid this nice acrylic pulpit back and forth. You know, just who knows? I'm weird that way. And so I was using an extra music stand. It was bent and tore up. So I ordered a clear music stand. And it was even clear on the website. It came this week, and it's a white music stand. So I thought about sending it back, and I said, nah, maybe God wants us to have a white one here. I don't know. All right. What's that? White's a good color. Turn over to Galatians 5:22. Well, we've been talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit for a little while now, and I'm only doing two. We spent about 3 or 4 weeks on peace. This is the second week on patience. And so we'll bring it up. Who knows? Maybe we'll talk about more. But these are important. Walking in the peace of God. See, as Christians, we're not just looking for a handout. Can I be so blunt? We're not just looking to be blessed, although he does all of that. We're looking to hold his hand and walk with Him and partner with Him about His business. We saw when Jesus was 12 years old and His parents had gone home. They were 3 days down the road. Where is He? They thought He was probably playing with some cousins or neighborhood kids. They couldn't find Him. They go all the way, they trace all the way back to the temple for 3 days. Well, I guess maybe it was 6 days. I don't know. 3 days out, 3 days back. He's in the temple at 12 years old holding His own with the rabbis. Now that's impressive. So if you're 12 in here, you can do it. With the spirit of wisdom, as we just talked about in Revelation, God can put so much on you that you can hold your own with the rabbis. He's asking them questions. He wasn't being argumentative, challenging them, going back and forth, learning. And they go, "What are you doing here?" Okay, now think about this kid for 6 days. What did he eat? Where did he sleep? He couldn't have been up for 6 days. I don't know. I mean, who thinks of those kind of questions? But that's what I think of when I'm going through the Gospels. What was he doing? Was there a buffet somewhere where he went? Did the rabbis take him home? You know, he wasn't even caring about his parents. Why didn't he at least text them and say, "I am in the temple, come get me whenever, or I'll catch up whenever"? And so he comes, he doesn't even apologize because he knows who he is and where he's going. And he goes, "I've been about my Father's business." And he has been doing that ever since. And what he does is when we become Christians, he wants to raise us up, train us, and teach us the family business. And it's all kinds of things. Friends here that were from St. Louis passing through, they're doing prison ministry. I don't know if you do that all the time, but that's part of his business, at least for this stage. And he is everywhere, and he's needing business partners. But to be business partners, there's certain, you got to, first of all, learn how to minister. But there's also character that's a big deal. And through that, he'll teach you. I've only spoken in two prisons. One was in Eastern Europe, and one was here. All three times, I'm like, this is not my calling. You just feel it. It's like, there's just no anointing here. So I applaud you for doing that. So that wasn't my area of the business. I went to another division. And you've got to find what business area that you're under and do that. But character is a big deal. And patience, let me just review. We saw three things that patience teaches us from last week. So Galatians 5:22, let me read that, 23. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. In the NIV, it says forbearance. In the Amplified, it says patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Patience, you're never going to be good in the family business until we learn patience. Patience has just gotten a bad rap. It's like one of these things we've got to endure. Let's just hold on. Let's do as little as possible to just get through it. That is the total wrong attitude. Patience is this. It's slowing down or speeding up to the speed that God is operating at. Patience and then learning to walk with that. I love what the Amplified says. Let me read this out of the Amplified. For patience, you know how the Amplified's got the little asterisk or the parentheses afterwards? Patience means an even temper, endurance, forbearance. So to be in the family business, we have to learn to flow the way the business owner is flowing. And do it in the timing of the business owner and not be a wimp and give out after 30 minutes. You know, if for most of you have kids in here and you do chores around the house or you know, like one of the chores Israel helps me with greatly. We got 8 acres of grass. Some of it's under hay, but some of it's not. It's a lot to cut. And it takes 3 hours on a riding lawnmower just to cut the grass. Well, you know, he'll do it. He'll have the endurance, help out, do that over there while I'm doing weed eating or doing bushes or whatever. But, you know, if he was 20 minutes later, "Dad, I'm tired, I'm going in." That's probably all the little 7-year-old can push that lawnmower or ride lawnmower. And that's good. But at 16, he should be able to do more than 20 minutes. And he does. That's patience. A part of patience is the endurance of walking that. And so patience is a gift that we need. And as we said last week, just repeating, there were three things that patience teaches us, real quick. Patience teaches us whose agenda is really important to you. Just think, I mean, are all of you born that whatever the Father says, we just automatically wait and do it? You know, half of Christianity is getting rid of my desires, replacing them with His desires. And then, you know, when He gives me His desires, it's amazing. All of a sudden I go, this is the best desire. But you can't see it at the beginning. Or sometimes He gives me His ideas and I want to do it now. Because the second thing we saw is that it teaches us that inactivity is not no activity. And that there's three things He's usually waiting on to before He can do these things that He's promised you. I mean, how many of you have had prophetic words or desires or dreams for years? Sometimes decades. Has God forgotten? No. It's usually one of three things we're waiting on. One is He may be waiting on others. Christianity is not golf. Christianity is a team sport. It requires other people working with you to get the football across the line. And you know, sometimes those people that you need, you may not even know who they are. They may not have even moved here yet. They may not even be at your company yet. So, are they late? Are they fat? Who knows? They may be right on time. And God just gave this stuff to you ahead of time. Because one of the things that we has to do is in this activity, inactivity that we think is no activity, is He's actually working on you to be able to catch the ball like you need to catch the ball when it's time for you to catch the ball. That means there are some things that require skills. Let's see, Jason's back there. Jason, I love his music. He writes a lot of his own songs. He plays well. Well, you know, we've prophesied over him about some of his songs going to the nations, and they have. Well, you know, if he was 12, his father says, you're going to be a musician, and he never practices. He never writes. He thinks it's just going to jump on him and happen. I don't want him up here. Do y'all want him up here? Go back. go to your music room and practice. So some of it is just, we don't realize the skill level He's going to require of us, because the platform that we think, we're ready for that platform, and you may be, but who knows, that platform may be more and bigger and deeper and wider than you think it is. Because He just, as we know in 1 Corinthians 14, you prophesy in part, you know in part, your dreams and your visions for the future are always in part. Your calling is in part. I knew at 18 years old that I was going to be a senior pastor and plant churches. If I had gone then, it would not look like anything like this, because I was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was against the gifts. I said, those guys are weird. If you speak in tongues, you're frothing at the mouth and you're demonically possessed. You would not have wanted me to plant I would have planted something. It would have been fine, but it wouldn't have been nothing like this. Let alone, it's Whitney in here, her doing prophetic worship today. Oh, no, my gosh, we ain't going there. So whatever it was to be, a plant churches and start churches, but who knows, man? It was 35, of course, actually 34 before I planted this church. I can't believe I was 34. My gosh, I didn't know anything. God's grace is good. And so you're a lot of times waiting on others, you're waiting on your skill level, and sometimes you're just waiting for circumstances to align. You know, we live in a physical world. We get stuff in the spiritual, but the spiritual has to eventually translate into the physical world. He cares about the physical world. It starts out in the spirit, because why? We pray that heaven come to earth. Well, where's heaven? It's in the spiritual. And it is a physical place, but that's a whole other lesson that's probably above my pay grade. But anyway, so it's coming from heaven into here, and so it has to translate. And so we learned, talked about last week that he teaches us whose agenda is first. Man, that is a big lesson. The quicker we just... This is the best thing about Christ. Just submit as soon as possible. Die as quickly as possible. The fighting just makes it worse. It drags it out. It takes years. And when you give in, you've got to start back over again anyway. Sometimes he speeds it up a little bit. So when he asks you something, just go, "Yes, Lord," and then freak out later if you have to freak out. Okay? Just say, "Father, I said yes, I'm freaking out. Help, I need peace." What he talked about in December, "I need peace." Okay, he'll get you there. But just say yes. It just, because let me tell you, he is the ultimate patient dude. You can't outlast him. I have tried to outlast. How many times has he told you something? Or told me something? I thought, I'm never gonna bring it up again. I'm not gonna think about it. I'm not going to pray for it because I'm hoping he'll forget about it. Well, he is patience. So he'll wait as long as... He'll wait till you die. And then when you go to heaven, you start over again. I'm not going to make a theology out of that because I really don't know. But I think some things that if we didn't learn here, we're going to learn there, okay? All right, you were really slow down there. It's going to be a little faster up here, but this... And then the third thing we talked about a lot, is that patience teaches us to be a partner with God. All right, real quick, we'll start today. I don't know if it'll be real quick or not, but we'll start today. And we're going to talk about three things patience builds in us. And we've talked a lot of this about. Turn over to 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. Turn over or click to it, swipe to it. Or just listen. You know, modern technology is so unique. Used to be in church service, if people were clicking on their phones, they were doing Facebook, Instagram, texting, and probably they still are most of the time. But you really don't know if they're clicking on their Bible app or taking notes. I used to write notes out on a piece of paper, but I most of the time just take it on my note takers. So that when I get home, it syncs up on my iPad automatically, syncs up on my computer. The first thing that we could talk about that patience builds in us is glory. 1 Peter 12:13. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering." Now, I picked this verse out. He does not use the word patience, but you got to have patience to go through painful trials without losing your mind and backsliding if you're and going somewhere else. "As though something strange were happening to you." This is a whole nother message, and you probably don't want me to go there, and I'm not sure I want to go there. But you know, this is implying painful trials happen. Well, that was really exciting response there. All in favor of doing a message on that, raise your hand. Verse 13. "But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." As you're, whatever you're going through, waiting quietly, waiting in a painful trial, it takes patience to endure, to forbear, to not get mad at God, to not get offended at God, to not lose it. And this is what happens. His glory is revealed. Well, where is it revealed? I think a lot of places. But I think one place it's specifically talking about is in you. The Latin word glory means renown or fame. And I don't think that means like you're going to be, you know, like a Hollywood celebrity. But as you go through trials and say, "Father, I'm going to wait on you. If you want me to change something, I'll change it. I'm not doing it just because I'm a masochist. But if there's something that you want to teach me, See, you're drawing close to Him. He draws close to you. His glory, His essence, His presence, His cologne, His fame rubs off on you. Are there people you've been around that when you're in their presence, you go, they're just closer to Jesus than me? It's not what they say, it's just what they carry. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? It's almost like they're wearing a cologne. When you see that, admire it, go for it, but realize they've gone through a lot of patience. You're not just immediately when you're born again, this happens. They've gone through stuff that's caused them to move closer to their Savior and stay by His side. And the closer we're to His Savior, the more He rubs off on us. Now, we don't have to wait for trials. We can go and cross the threshold into the Holy of Holies whenever we want. We can go into His presence whenever we want. I personally don't ask for trials. I ask for the Lord. I say, Lord, let me go into Your threshold. If trials come, they come. But then I still go into His threshold, or go into the Holy of Holies. Turn over to James 1, 3 and 4. I'm going to read this one out of the King James. The second thing it builds is maturity. Let me read the verse. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, in the King James it says patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let me read it to you out of the Message. The Message doesn't use patience like here, but the word perfect in the King James is a little, not a word we use a lot. You know where it says up there that you may be perfect? It's a little, not a word we use too much today. So let me now read the same verses out of the Message. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Boy, isn't that the truth? So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become, and here's the word in the Message for perfect, mature, well-developed, not deficit in any way. So how many of you want to become mature? Turn to the person on your left, say, I really hope you get there fast. Maturity is where the Lord's taken us, and that's a big subject, and it means a lot of things. But one of those is learning patience. Without patience, you'll never become mature. Well, that doesn't sound right. It's just a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Without patience, you won't learn to give up your agenda. Without patience, you won't learn to see in the Spirit of what God's doing, of why there's no movement in your life right now, so to speak. When there's no movement and a lot of waiting, a lot of times I ask the Lord and go, what's going on? Sometimes He shows me at a broad level. Sometimes He doesn't. But ask Him. Patience is, and so maturity comes from learning to walk with Jesus as He walks, where He walks. You know, as it says in John 5, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. What was it, John 12? I'm doing this from my memory. He says, I only say what the Father is saying. Wow. It would be so cool, maybe, might be entirely depressing, that at the end of the week, we could get like the Lord send me a text. And He goes, you walked with me 3% this week. And you said what I told you to say 1.5. You know, I'd probably be depressed, but the week before it was less than that, okay? But wouldn't that be so cool? At the end of the week, we get a little report card of what percentage we're walking with the Lord. Are you looking at me like... You're looking at me like you're weird. But wouldn't that be cool? But I think in some way in the Spirit we can go, how are we doing walking with You, saying what we say and doing what we do, You do? But most of the time I don't even have to ask, because most of the time I pretty much know, don't you? You can grade yourself. But, so, patience builds maturity, the last thing. is patience builds endurance. I've come up with, and again, we all, don't we, at least me, maybe I'm just speaking to myself, we always focus on the negative endurance. Oh my gosh, I'm in boot camp and I've done 100 push-ups and the dude wants me to do 101 more push-ups. I guess that's endurance. That is. But here's a positive spin on it that I think is better. The Lord wants to give us endurance because here's my definition of it. To outlast the enemy or the circumstances coming against you. And here's a PS. And maybe just outlast the person that's annoying the heck out of you. That sometimes we need, you know. Usually those people that are annoying us, God brought them to show us what was annoyable. I don't think that's a word, is it? Annoyable in us. But either way, endurance is the positive spin. Outlast the enemy or the circumstance trying to stop us, or maybe just the person that annoys you. I think of that old hymn. And it says, "It is well with my soul." That's peace and that's patience. I realized this week, I'm going to tell on Abigail, because my other kids, it happened to them at Ed Langham's funeral. I realized a major deficit in my parenting. Abigail's 23 now. She was home from college for the holidays. She just switched jobs, is doing a new job. She's working in the nursery toddlers area, First Baptist Church of Marietta. That's what she's doing, and all during the week and different. Last week was her time to take the kids. How many of you grew up Baptist? Take the kids into the auditorium, sit through the last song or two, and then they'd go up to the step, and then the pastor would tell them a little story. Is this battery going bad? Tell them a little story before they go back to their classes. I grew up that way. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If not, just picture it. So she's in there. She grew up here. You know what kind of music we do. That's because I was the pastor. You had to come here every Sunday. And I realized a major deficit in my training. And my other kids, the same thing happened a few months back at Christ Church when Ed Langham died at his funeral. She calls me up and goes, "Dad, I'm really mad at you." I said, "Why?" She goes, "You never taught me how to read a hymn." And I was seated by the pastor's wife. And I get this out. I didn't even know what book to read in. And I said, "Was it a red book or a blue book?" And she told me, she goes, "You knew what kind of book it was?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, the pastor's wife had to show me how to get to the page number. And then I sang the first line perfectly. Why did they put the second line four lines down on the next stanza? Finally, by the second hymn, I figured out how to do the hymnal. And she said, "I just faked singing the whole time." She said, "I was trying not to be embarrassed." And she goes, "Why do they do that?" I said, "That's just what they do in traditional churches." She goes, "They were all written down in a nice book." I said, "Yeah." She said, "You use an overhead?" I said, "Yeah." And I said, "Why do they put it in a book?" I said, "Because they've not added any new songs in 100 years. She goes, "Really? Those are the same songs?" I said, "Maybe there's a few later, but most of them early 1900s, 17." She goes, "You're kidding me. They've been singing these same songs for 100 years? I said, 100, 200 years. She goes, "You're kidding me. They don't do any new songs?" "I don't know, not a whole lot." And she goes, "You're kidding me." I said, "Why do you think they call it a traditional church?" So now all my kids are trained on how to do hymns. It was funny, at Ed's funeral, they did hymns. I watched all our teenagers that were sitting in front of me. Maybe a few knew that were in chorus. Maybe, I think Israel knew because he was actually in chorus and told him about it. None of them knew how to sing the hymns. And they were all looking around going like that. So we will have a hymn class some Sunday morning. The problem is I don't have any hymn books, and I don't really feel like buying any hymn books. We could probably, I've got one on my bookshelf I could bring. Because there's some cool songs there. There's some good words there, man. Like, "It is well with my soul." We just went off a rabbit trail. It's dead. Let's stand and go. No, seriously, let's stand. We'll go. I was ending with Israel, my soul, and I got off on a tangent chasing this rabbit about the hymns. So anyway, I realized a major hole in my parenting with my kids. And amen. We're going to close. If any of you need prayer for anything or have something you want to share with some of the leaders, not all the leaders will be able